Welcome to Equity Gurus, A Closer Look, where we give you, the investor, an inside view on some of the best and brightest small cap companies operating in the public markets today.
The opinions expressed on this podcast are not necessarily shared by people who are wrong.
Today I'm talking with Penny Green, CEO of Yield Growth, which trades on the Canadian Securities Exchange under the symbol BOSS. Yield Growth products include CBD and THC oils. Today, we're going to find out about Yield Growth's plan to disrupt the $4.2 trillion global wellness industry. Penny Green, welcome to Equity Gurus, A Closer Look.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Penny, can you start out by giving me a bird's eye view of Yield Growth? What are your objectives, ambitions? What is your mission?
Certainly. Yield Growth is intending to dominate the cannabis topical space.
Yeah.
There's two areas that we're very interested in that we're launching products in right now. One is in skincare. We have our Urban Juve line up in Canada, and we're launching our CBD line down in the U.S. And we also have Right & Well, which is a line of cannabis-infused products designed with the goal to deal with pain, to treat pain.
I'm interested how you figured out that niche was there.
I've always believed in developing companies and products and content to meet the demand.
Yeah.
So when we first created the Yield Growth Corp, we were actually created as a technology company, and our initial goal was to get into the cannabis industry by developing technology that was needed. And we started talking to some of the bigger chains that were operating a couple of years ago down in the States. And although there was a need for technology and there continues to be that need, I saw a greater need for products. They would just pepper our conversations with, do you guys have a sunscreen? Do you have this with CBD and so on? Kind of somehow expecting me, because I was in Canada, to have this whole range of cannabis products available. And in fact, we did have a thriving black market topicals industry in BC, probably one of the most thriving industries in the world as far as topicals go. And I thought, wow, all these great products up here cannot come to market because they were born in the black market. But there's all kinds of expertise, and there's a consumer base, at least in BC, and there's a demand that I could see in the US. So I thought, this is an area I think there's a lot of opportunity. And I don't think that there's a lot of companies out there that are pursuing it, at least not on the commercial level that we're now pursuing it.
And I think not in the kind of pure play focused way that you are.
Yeah, I agree. It's a very different business. I mean, if you're an LP, you have your hands full with all kinds of regulations in terms of growing cannabis, in terms of running, agriculture. Even if you're an extraction company, that's a very specific business that you're building, machinery, and you're extracting the oils. To get into products, for most of the cannabis companies that I've seen, it's been sort of a second sort of play, like, oh yes, and we do this.
Well, let's talk about Urban Juve, and I'm very intrigued, and both about the company, about how the product development works, the manufacturing works, and also the branding, which manages to be hip without alienating older people.
Well, thanks. That's our goal.
Yeah.
A lot of the formulas that we acquired were meant to be infused with CBD or THC. So they'd actually been created using various essential oils that contain certain terpenes, or that were known to contain certain compounds that would mix really well with cannabis. And so you've probably heard of the entourage effect when you have a number of different compounds. When together, they're sort of greater than the elements would be added up. And so what we have are these formulas that have tremendous therapeutic benefits or tremendous results for skincare. We didn't want to wait for topicals legislation to come into force in Canada. It looks like we're close in terms of the rules, but I don't think it'll be right away that companies will actually be able to come out with topicals, because it's quite a complex process that needs to happen. So we wanted to launch our products into the marketplace. And we were lucky that the Cannabis Act that was adopted last October actually exempted the root of the plant from the definition of cannabis. And so one of the key ingredients in Urban Juve, we decided to include the hemp root. So we have a proprietary extraction method where we take the oil out of the hemp root. We basically create an oil that's full spectrum, that retains a lot of the therapeutic benefits by maintaining a lot of the compounds. We've done some testing to confirm some of the terpenes. And then having that key ingredient in there makes this a cannabis line without being subjected to all the cannabis regulations. So we came up with the name Juve because it comes from rejuvenate, and all of the sort of benefits from the different parts of the cannabis plant have to do with rejuvenation.
The therapeutic effects that you talk about, are they in fact at this point entirely anecdotal, and does that matter?
It's anecdotal evidence that we have. Yeah. I mean, take a look at the Urban Juve products. So we're starting with a lip balm. Like, obviously, if a lip balm has the right ingredients, it's going to make your skin moist. It's going to deal with chapped lips. Yeah. You don't need a clinical trial to support that. But you can take a look at the consumer reviews to say, okay, this is maybe true. Our anti-aging serum, you know, it has certain ingredients in it, like sea buckhorn, that are known and have been proven to reduce signs of aging.
Where are you selling your products now, Penny?
Right now, Urban Juve is available in about 80 to 100 retailers. We've signed over 100, but we're just getting them into each one. So last time I checked, we were live in about 80 of them, and that's throughout North America, with a focus right now on Vancouver and Toronto.
Yeah.
And we have our website launched. So urbanjuve.com is available to anyone in the world. We've blocked out a few territories where even hemp fruit oil is not allowed, but for the most part, you can get it anywhere. You can get it in Europe. We are also selling to Hong Kong and China.
Talk to me more about that. Why did you decide to enter through Hong Kong rather than Beijing or Shanghai?
Well, we had an agreement with a company called Pop Square.
Yeah.
And they had designed a digital kiosk that goes into high traffic malls and allows people to come by, check out the products, interact, because it's an interactive kiosk and doesn't necessarily need to be manned by anybody. Sometimes it is.
Oh, interesting.
But it gives an opportunity for people to sign up, get information, take a sample. And it's just, we thought it was a really neat way to kind of bridge the gap between retail and e-commerce. So China is one of those territories, and so is Hong Kong, where e-commerce is growing at a tremendous rate. And so we thought, okay, you know, there's a certain cost of acquisition when you're dealing only online. And it's sort of becoming a trend to have some kind of retail installation to help build your online sales. So it was just such an interesting opportunity. And PopSquare happened to already have the relationships with the malls in Hong Kong. So they said, look, we can easily get you this rotation through six great high traffic locations in Hong Kong, which will really introduce the Hong Kong residents to your brand. The prices are great in Hong Kong. There's a demand for high quality luxury skincare lines like Urban Juve.
Yeah.
And there's an interest in sort of cutting edge, trendy products that maybe have, you know, something, some an unusual ingredient or a cool ingredient like cannabis. And so we also had a great consultant who was able to basically put everything together for us to get into WeChat. And so there's all kinds of work involved around translating and developing social programs, you know, specifically for that market. So she just had all the right contacts and it made a lot of sense.
You're listening to the Equity.Guru podcast.
Just a quick note to tell you, sorry to interrupt your interview, but if you want more of these, you need to go to your podcast player, whatever that podcast player is, and go and subscribe to the Equity Guru podcast. You can do that through iTunes. You can do it through Google Play. You can do it through all the places. Equity Guru podcast. Do it now.
Welcome back.
In my experience in China, it's easier for a Western brand to penetrate than it might be, you know, trying to crack a mature market in California. They're very intrigued and interested, and they also love, I have a Chinese wife, they absolutely love beauty products, health products, skin products.
Yeah, there's definitely a huge market for it over there. But you know, what's interesting is the market for CBD beauty in the US and in Europe is tremendous as well. Yeah. I don't know if you follow the Jefferies reports, but they've identified CBD beauty as its own category. And they now report on it, and they're predicting that CBD beauty is going to be $16 billion in the next 5 years. Which is almost bigger than the cannabis industry. It's absolutely huge. And they do predict that, you know, the main companies that are in the cannabis industry right now, like Estee Lauder and L'Oreal, will continue to dominate, but they're going to be making acquisitions in order to keep those dominating spots.
Is that a potential, as it were, end game for yield growth to be bought out by a monster company?
Absolutely. I mean, yeah. We're developing products with acquisition in mind. We're creating them so they can be easily acquired.
Yeah.
We follow every possible due diligence step to make sure we do all the right testing for our products,
yeah.
The microbial, the stability testing. We do our trademark registrations around the world so that our different brands that we're developing can be acquired by much larger entities.
I see you've got news out today, June 21, 2019, on Oregon. Tell me about what's going on in Oregon.
Oh yeah, we're so excited to get our final approvals to launch our 9 topical products in Oregon. And this is for the Right and Well line. So again, this is a line we put a lot of work into developing the formulas, an equal amount of work into developing a brand that we thought would resonate with our target market. In this case, the target market is anyone with pain. So the products that we developed for this market include CBD and THC in pretty high concentrations as allowed by the Oregon rules. And our goal is to build this brand Right and Well to be synonymous with pain relief.
Are there any regulations stopping you entering the California market?
No, actually, we intend to enter every state where topicals are legal. But our next launch is actually going to be the CBD version of our product. So as I was talking to you before about the craze in the U.S. right now for CBD products, and with the Farm Bill just being adopted in December, there's a huge demand by residents, by retailers, by big chains for CBD products. And so our next launch, we're hoping to be manufacturing our CBD version of our Right and Well products by September through a manufacturing facility in California. So we've already ordered the certified organic CBD distillate. We're excited to have our products with that high quality version of CBD full spectrum.
Would it be fair to say that Oregon is in a way as a sort of a beta test? You're going to find out there what moves off the shelves, what makes
Absolutely.
Money.
We're developing a full marketing plan, and I really like the marketing rules in Oregon because you can do things like billboards, you can do print ads. There's still a lot of restrictions compared to, makeup or an unregulated industry, but we can do a lot in Oregon. So we'll be building out all of our marketing assets in a big way. We've retained a marketing firm down there. And yes, absolutely. That's going to be the blueprint for going to other states. So our goal is to be the number one topical product in the U.S. and internationally with Right and Well.
Is that better from a branding perspective to not mix pain products in with skincare health products?
Yeah, good question. It's a completely different market. It's also different regulations. So Urban Juve was created to be regulated under cosmetics rules, which doesn't have any marketing restrictions. We wanted to be able to sell in Canada, where we are, just so people can try our products. Because in my opinion, when you try an Urban Juve product, you can get hooked. And then you kind of understand what we're talking about when we say high quality natural botanicals really can change the way your skin your skin looks. They can really be a game changer.
Penny, tell me about, I know you got a heavyweight team that's more or less designed for global domination. Tell me a bit about them.
We're so lucky to have assembled such a great team. Tom Bond is the chairman of Urban Juve.
Yeah.
He was the CFO of MAC Cosmetics. Then he got promoted to the COO. So for 6 years, he pretty much ran that company until it got bought out by Estee Lauder. MAC Cosmetics today is the number one cosmetics brand in the world, has the most number of Instagram followers. And Tom was responsible for building it from around a $10 million a year company to over $100 million when it was bought by Estee Lauder. So his contacts His experience is tremendous. He actually brought to the table the head of our board of advisors, who was the chairman of Johnson & Johnson, who was also the president of Johnson & Johnson. So with Johnson & Johnson, you have Tylenol, you have Aveeno, Neutrogena, and Dove. So here are some of the world's most successful personal care brands.
How often do you talk to Thomas Bond?
Every 2 days.
Yeah.
He's actually, although he's a director of Yield and he's a director of Urban Dew, he's very involved. So we have him on contract. He works with us about 3 days a week. And, you know, we discuss everything from our sales team to operations, to financial statements, to really our rollout plan. And, you know, he gives me tasks and I have to come back to him with my plans and he analyzes them and he reaches out to people in the industry that we need. And through him, we've been able to secure really some of the top talent in terms of agencies for developing our brands.
What do your current revenues look like and what are your projections?
Well, I can tell you what we've already disclosed. So yeah. We've disclosed to date $4 million in revenues, which is very strong for a company that's brand new like us.
Yeah.
My experience is in the capital markets and law and accounting, and I believe in the bottom line. You know, I always want to see us with strong revenues. So that's something I focus on every day. So our last quarter, I think we had around 800,000 in revenues. I think we had just over 3 million in our last fiscal year. And those revenues are a combination of services, licensing, and product sales. You know, if we continue to do the licensing deals that we're doing, then we would be seeing, you know, $3 or $4 million a year just from that.
Penny, when you talk about licensing agreements, is this distinct from white labeling?
So yeah. When we do a license agreement, I totally anticipate that we'll be doing the manufacturing, the branding, and developing the bulk product, if not the entire product, for the client. So
it's
not a one-time win for us. It's a, you know, hopefully a continued source of revenue.
I have one final question. What are your milestones for the next 12 months?
Whenever yep. Major media reports about here are the leading beauty brands in cannabis, I want Urban Juve to be one of them. And, you know, we're taking the steps to make it happen. For Right & Well, I'd love to see Right & Well really be a leader in the topical space.
It was really nice talking to you.
Thank you. You as well.
Have a great weekend.
Thank you. You too.
That concludes another episode of Equity Gurus, A Closer Look. Thanks for listening. We'll see you soon.
Thanks for listening. For disclosure statements and more info, please visit www.equity.guru.